Before we dive into this podcast, we want to introduce you to our sponsor, TaylorMade. Established in 2008, TaylorMade is a family-owned and run business built on traditional values of trust, honesty, and integrity. When you visit TaylorMade's showroom, you'll experience firsthand their commitment to these values through their honest pricing with no hidden fees and service with a genuine smile. Each tile specialist is knowledgeable in all areas from features and benefits to measuring and layout, ensuring you receive the best advice and service possible. TaylorMade's vision is to become one of the largest and most successful tile manufacturers of high-end quality products, with a stylish and exclusive range of products distributed worldwide to both wholesale and retail markets. Their mission is to manufacture high-quality tiles and surpass expectations by offering competitive prices through an ongoing commitment to customer satisfaction and dedication to continuous improvement. We're proud to have TaylorMade as our sponsor and invite you to visit their showroom in Coorparoo or check out their products online at taylormade.com.au.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. I'm joined not by Joe Fitz this evening, but by someone who, dare I say it, may have thrown in the towel, waved the white flag. It is the 2022 reigning champion, Matt White, who, I don't know, maybe he's resigned to the fact that his title defense is officially over. Is that truly the case, Matt? Say it ain't so.
Mate, I think the title defense might be over, but there are some serious head-to-head leagues that I just do not cope well with losing. I think that's one of the things that got me over the line last year. I just couldn't stand to lose after hitting the front at round 13. But I've got some head-to-head leagues and some people at work and stuff that don't trust my Supercoach ability. So I need to make sure I beat them in head-to-head games, and that's where my focus is at the moment.
Well, it's good to have you on. And as you've said, you know, you've shared in the past, that's how you got into Supercoach in the first place. And it's clear that you've got those competitive instincts. And as you've highlighted, you know, you've really climbed a mountain on the overall side of things. So you got to make sure the head-to-head side of things doesn't fall away as well. So let's not go into too much about how you went last week. As you said, your focus is on head-to-head now. So...
The Supercoach brain's still there, hopefully, there, mate. Hopefully we can, get a slightly different perspective on things, but, yeah, we'll still talk the same stuff.
Oh, look, no doubt you'll still be able to dish out the advice on what you would do if you're focusing on overall, just obviously knowing that your own team might not, be making those same decisions. I mean, last week you were saying you traded out guys who were about to lose cash and, you know, guys who were meant to play that round and whatever, but as you say, you've shifted your focus to head-to-head, so... You won all your head-to-head matchups, I believe. Any leagues that are crazy enough to make you play in the big buy rounds, but, you know, there are some of those out there. I had a decent week with 962, climbed up a couple of hundred spots, so back inside the top 2K. But, it's a good couple of bounce backs for a guy in particular. He scored 1079. He'd been slipping for a bit, but I think he's jumped straight back into the top 700 already, just off the top of that. And Tim Moody still, his charge, even though he's also focusing head-to-head, he's managed to sneak into the top 1K. But, I mean, he says one thing, but I kind of think he's flip-flopping between the two because those trades, the way he's burning them, he doesn't feel like a head-to-head player to me. Joe Fitz, who is obviously leading us on the podcast here, he's slipped a little tough week with 876 for him, down to 370 overall, which is still obviously really good. I wanted to highlight, though, it's actually quite condensed, to say the least. I think we see this every year, but it feels like it's, and again, sound like a broken record, but it genuinely feels like a round where, a season where it's just so condensed, more so than usual. I don't know if you noticed it as well, but we always see the gap from first to 10th is around about 350 points or whatever, so that's not too different. It's always there or thereabouts at this stage of the season. But then the gap from first to 100th is just under 650 points, and first to 1,000 is just under 950 points. So it is stretching out for sure. But then this is where if your goal is top 1,000 and you're sitting in the 10,000s or whatever, thinking, oh, I'll never get there, but You know, you look at the gap from 1,000 to 2,000, it's just 120 points. Add another 80 points and you're up to 3,000s. Add another 110 points to the 5,000s. And then from 10,000 to 1,000 is 500 points exactly. So it's super condensed. You're definitely, you know, just because you're in the five digits doesn't mean you're no chance of making it to top 100. You definitely can get there. Yeah, top 1,000 and even top 100 is definitely not out of the equation at all. So yeah, don't give up first and foremost. But even for those chasing the top ranks, I mean, it seems like a lot of points, but as we've seen already, like it's really hard to stay up the top for, you know, for so many rounds. Like you'll find the lead more often than not will change from this point on. So whether it's just a matter of other people catching up or the leader, and you and I can speak to this, right? When you've been in the lead, you make stupid decisions because the pressure mounts. Every week you're still there. Every week you're still there. You feel it, right? You just feel that the hundreds of thousands of people chasing you down.
Yeah, you don't double think. You sometimes triple and quadruple think trades, and that can put your head in a spin. So, look, if as you said, if you're anywhere there and are chasing it, look, the top 1K is definitely not out of reach for a lot of people, and the socks are great. So do what you can to get that top 1,011, because once you get the KFC socks, they can't take them back off you.
That's absolutely correct. All right, so just a quick shout out to our $500 champs only bonus leader. It's still X, Team X, who's moved up back into the top 20, sitting in 19th now. So keep going, mate. We will back you till the end. And obviously, you're still really well placed to make a run for the overall competition there. Quick shout out to the Champions 20 Head-to-Head 2 League, sitting in 21st overall. For some of us who are in the Podmasters Cup, so again, that's a league full of all the podcasters. We actually took out the overall top-ranked league for 20-team leagues last year, so moved up to 8th now. We are making a charge to hopefully go back-to-back for the first overall league. But yeah, anyway, that's enough of that. Let's take a quick look at the news for this week. Look, we will talk origin dramas and all that type of stuff shortly, but before we jump into that, I did want to quickly mention the Daniel Anderson Support Fund that launched a couple of days ago. So this is Daniel Anderson, the former Warriors and Eels coach, currently working as in the recruitment team at the Roosters at the moment. I didn't know that till recently, but yeah, so he suffered a spinal cord injury late last year, quite significant. He's in like a wheelchair. And, you know, there's a huge amount of rehab and recovery to get through, basically. So it's really cool to see the NRL community get behind him. Obviously, he's given a lot to the NRL over the years, and it's good to see the NRL give back to him. So, yeah, there's a fund that obviously is launched now, danielandersonfund.com.au, if you want to know more about that. And for there's also a match to dedicating to him. It's going to be the Eels versus Roosters in round 25 this year. Basically, yeah, I think, you know, they're going to be raising funds to go towards him that game as well. So, yeah, definitely check out danielandersonfund.com.au if you want more details. But, yeah, it's really good to see the NRL obviously get behind one of their own like this. Jumping straight to the Origin chat, obviously. You know, it's really weird, right? Normally it's Queensland that's dealing with the injuries, the mystery flu sweeping through camp and everything like that. But honestly, it feels like it's radio silence, right? I barely heard a peep out of the Queensland camp.
Yeah, Munster had a sore shoulder there early, but there's been no gastro, no nothing. And New South Wales have gone to toothaches now.
Yeah, that's it. So Nathan Cleary, you know, with a toothache, surely he'll play, but it's just funny. They're writing articles about it. Payne Haas rolls his ankle and all of a sudden he's in doubt, but he'll play. Like there's no doubt he's going to play. However, Latrell Mitchell is one player who won't be there, who has suffered a calf issue. And Stephen Crichton has come into the team and Matty Burton becomes the 18th man for the Blues. As a proud Maroon supporter, obviously this is, we never like to wish injuries on anyone, but look, it is a net positive for the Queenslanders, right? I think there's no ifs or buts about it, unless you happen to be someone called Paul Crawley who believes it might be a positive somehow. Who knows?
Yeah, that's stretching the truth as far as you can, right? Like Stephen Crichton, he's done some big things in some big games, but he's not the superstar that Luttrell is. He definitely doesn't strike the same fear that Luttrell strikes. Like he's a good player, but yeah, I'm not concerned about Stephen Crichton.
Yeah, look, as you highlighted, you know, definitely, I mean, who can forget the intercept he nabbed in the grand final, right? Like that is a big game play and a big game moment, but it's just, he's not Luttrell Mitchell, right? And he's, as you say, he's a good player, but he'll never do the things that Luttrell can do because only Luttrell can do those things. So as a Queenslander, I think, yeah, it's still going to be tough. I think we're still underdogs based on the teams picked and all that, right? Classic Queensland spirit.
I think the Tabs still got us as underdogs. I did read an article that they're refusing to make us favourites. It might be $1.80, $2 or something.
Which, fair enough, honestly. Why would you ever make the Queensland favourites? Anyway, we've talked injuries. Let's jump into a little bit more of an injury wrap there.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
All right, so obviously Luttrell Mitchell hasn't been named this week because of that calf injury. They did say it was fairly minor and there was initially some chat that he might play this round, but I guess the Bunnies are playing it safe, which is probably sensible. You know, he's missing this week. I think he's a chance for next week, but there's no scans confirming anything. It's just unofficial chat at this stage. So Jack Bird, who played last week, obviously, but came off the field and there was no injuries apparently, but he's now missing a couple of weeks, apparently. A minimum of at least two, from what I understand. It relates to his knee issues, and obviously he's had a lot of knee dramas in the past, like multiple ACLs and things like that. So I imagine Dragons just being super cautious with him and just managing the workload he gets. So I imagine that's going to give him a lot of, rest over that. You didn't have Bird in your team, did you?
No, don't have Bird. I know there was a few people that did, and we spoke about him being a potential trade-in option over this Origin period, but I didn't have him.
I think given, he's going to miss a couple of weeks, and I think he's a clear trade-out, isn't he?
Yeah, I think there's still some value there, right? He hasn't dropped down to the 400s. You'll still get something for him, so yeah, I'd be jumping ship.
Yep, sounds good there. Obviously, new signing for the Eels, Joe Offa-Hingawi. Lasted all of 10 minutes before limping off of a calf injury. Still waiting for confirmation on how long he'll be out for, but it'll be at least a couple of weeks minimum based on most calf injuries, basically. So,
I really thought he got hooked. Like, he didn't have the greatest start to the game, and I thought Brad Arthur hooked him. That would have been gold.
It would have been pretty classic Brad Arthur, wouldn't it? But no, thankfully for him, it was an injury there. Freddie Lussick is missing this week because of concussion. For the Warriors, good timing, and Wade Egan being able to return from his calf issue. So it worked out well for them there. Kieran Foran, he was on the bye, but it turns out he's obviously being given a bit of time off for that plantar rupture he's been playing through, basically like his toe ligament. So round 17 is what he's slated to be his return date. So that's a couple of weeks off. Obviously, not so much super relevant for him, but it more might be the other people around him, right? One David Fifita has been the bane of my existence since I accidentally traded him out. Anyway, but yeah, we'll no doubt talk about that a little bit more later. Now, for the Raiders, obviously, Seb Chris, he limped off last game. Pretty unlucky for those who took the punt on him for a bit of bye coverage, but he has been named this week, but definitely massive watch on whether he'll be okay or not. That knee did not look good at all. The fact that he tried to play through it, but yeah, had to come off. He was in all sorts. So yeah, massive watch there if you do have Seb Chris still in your team. Or obviously our thoughts go out to Corey Harawira-Naira, who, if you hadn't seen, don't watch because it's not pretty, but yeah, suffered a fit of seizures on the field, basically. So great news that the Raiders have been really good keeping us updated. Yeah, he's been discharged from hospital. No issues there, basically, in terms of his day-to-day management. But he's been given at least a month out as they do scans and try to figure out what's wrong. Pretty scary stuff, obviously. But most important thing, Corey's fine at the moment. And, yeah, lots of support being given to him there. Jordan Rapana also went off late for a HIA. Now, as always, when they go off in the last 15 minutes, you just don't know if they pass or not because we don't know. But given he's been named, it seems like he would have passed, because I think if he had failed his HIA, he would not have been able to be named this round based on the fact he's already suffered a concussion, I believe. So that's, again, so-called mandatory 11-day stand down coming into play again, but who knows, right? Who knows?
The mandatory 10-day, 10.5-day stand
down. 10.5 days, yeah. Unless the NRL feels like it, cutting it down a bit more if they've, whatever. suspensions-wise, pretty clear this week, actually. No suspensions, just 8 players who are charged. Well, all free to play after entering guilty pleas and copping fines. So, yeah, look, let's jump straight over to the team list for this round.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations, the rest of you made the team. Except you, and you.
All right, kicking off this round with the Tigers and the Raiders. This is Friday, 8 p.m., playing at Campbelltown Stadium. Firstly, the Raiders are resting their inspirational captain, Jared Croker, so that he can play his 300th game at home in front of his hometown fans. Look, as an aside, I mean, I get it, right? I get it. Not everyone gets to play 300 games and you want to celebrate with your home fans, but I don't know. Doesn't it leave a bit of a sour taste in your mouth just thinking about it?
It almost feels like you're not giving the game against the Tigers the respect it deserves, right? Like, they've got plenty of outside backs. You see Nick Kotrick in quite comfortably. Xavier Savage is sitting there in the reserves. Even Harley Smith-Shields. But, yeah, it feels like this game is just being overlooked for next week, right? Like, you've got a game to win.
That's it. And it's not like, I mean, yeah, they've been playing well and whatever, but they certainly are not... they're not locked in for finals or anything like that. So you're right. Like, maybe they just don't see Croker as being such a key part of their team. I don't know. But, inspirational captain, right? So it's no surprise the team started lifting once he was in the team. So who knows? But look, the Tigers, they obviously lost Joe Ofengawi over the bye. So they've just had to replace him. I think Alex Seifarth coming into the team and Fanua Pole at lock there. Otherwise, why would you change a winning team, right? Just absolutely slaying since their last start there. Look, let's talk Dream Buller, because he's obviously, he's now 452,400 and he's got a negative 26 break even, 124 in the rolling average for 2 weeks there. Is it too late to jump on?
It's as you say, you got to not look at the past, but it's like 200 and something thousand more than you could have paid for him 3 weeks ago. So that's a bitter pill to swallow. I think there's got to be better options. He does look good, and the Tigers have looked good. He's busy. But, we're not swimming in trades. Well, I don't think anyone is swimming in trades. So maybe a slight... someone more in the keeper direction is where I'd be looking rather than Bull. I've got him. I believe you have him as well. Happy to roll him out this week against the Raiders, but wouldn't be putting him in as a top trade-in option.
You'd have to be pretty confident in his scores this weekend next. And look, Raiders and then Titans next week, although that game is away. The Titans traditionally have always struggled against fullbacks, so there's every chance that Buller goes well as in that game as well. And then it's round 16 against the Origin affected Storm. Then they've got the round 17 bye. Round 18 is the Cowboys. So that could be a 124 just last start against the Cowboys. And then round 19 against the Sharks with presumably no Nico Hines in there. So look, it's not a bad run and there is one bye in there, but the key thing for the Tigers, and hence why a lot of people are asking the question, the Tigers to cover round 16 and 19. Which is obviously the next two big buy rounds as well. So, look, I think the price is a little bit steep for someone like Buller, who is, he's a 5-6 game rookie at the end of the day. Like, we just don't know whether the first 4 weeks that he played is more likely to be his normal output, or is he trending? Is last week indicative of his breakout and he's going to keep going? I mean, he's definitely passed the eye test from my perspective. The Tigers... something's clicking, I think. I'm very hesitant when I say that, right? Because I just think, Are they really clicking?
Well, there's teams out there chasing Brooksy now, aren't they? Everybody wants a piece of Brooksy. That's how you know they must be clicking.
And look, to be fair, they've been playing much better footy over the last, not just last game when they put on 66, but the 3 weeks before that, right? Just genuinely looking like a better team and something's working for them. So, yeah, look, I think I'm torn because I have, like you said, I jumped on at bottom dollar. So I'm trying to wipe that from my mind when I think of looking at this guy and going, would I jump on at 452? I think I'd still say no because the unknown. It's not like he's a proven commodity. He's trending in the right direction, but I think it's a tough ask paying 450K for a five-game rookie who plays for, up until, you know, a month ago, one of the worst teams in the NRL, right? So I think that's the issue that I have with trusting him at 452K. Having said that, there are a couple of names in the Tigers team that a lot of people are looking at. Isaiah Papali'i and John Bateman in particular. Do either of those guys pique your interest?
Yes, they do. They look good. I really like watching Bateman play. He just seems to breathe super coach points, right? He loves those cross-field crabbing runs where he palms off a couple of guys. It's Joey Manu, hero ball all over again. But, yeah, look, IPAP hasn't had any attacking stats yet this year. He's just grinding the 60s. If they do happen to come, you might get a couple of breakout 80 and 90s there. So, yeah, they're definitely not people I would be crossing off the list. And as you say, round 16 and round 19 coverage with a good buy, a good draw coming up with some easy games. Look, you can do worse.
And there's only 25 grand between the two of them. So Bateman's at 586K, Papali'i at 561K. So they just sound really cheap. I mean, Papali'i's lost 270K since the start of the season. So that's a huge drop overall. But obviously, as you've highlighted, zero attacking stats. And you know, even last start, I mean, obviously when you score 66 points, there's going to be a drop in base, but he scored 39 in 72 minutes. So definitely a little bit concerning there. And I just wonder, like, you know, he's playing alongside Brooks, who I guess isn't really using his edge back role very well, or he's not running the same lines or whatever it is. It hasn't quite clicked for the two of them. So I think if I'm going to take a punt on one of them, I lean towards Bateman just because Bateman's the type to, you know, hero ball it himself, you know, get the ball, try and make something happen, and he's found attacking stats of his own accord, basically, not really running off, depending on Wakeham or his half partner for those stats there. So, yeah, I think if you're picking between the two, I would lean towards the Bateman side. Anyone else in either of these teams that you want to talk about? If not, we'll move on to the next game.
I think I'd just touch on Joe Tarpany. Anyone who hasn't got Joe Tarpany in, I suggest making that happen this week. He looked good last week. This is about when he went ballistic last year, and that bench with Tom Starling and Matt Frawley there, it's about as good as it can look for Tarpany. I'd lock him in for sort of at least 65, maybe over 70 minutes this week playing lock.
Yeah, it's a good shout. He played 68 last round, and that's obviously pretty much where you're pegging him. So I think Horse being on the edge and playing, you know, massive minutes there as well can only bode well for him, obviously, because Horse was getting 50 to 65 minutes playing in the middle. So, yeah, I think you're spot on there. Joey Tapp's priority bring in if you haven't got him yet. Doesn't cover round 16, but obviously still helps with round 19, and he's a front row forward keeper. So, yeah, get on board if you haven't yet. All right, let's move on to the next game here. We've got the Warriors and the Dolphins. This is in Auckland, so not Mount Smart, but at Go Media Stadium. I don't know. Is that the new Mount Smart? I can't even remember if they've changed the names there. But anyway, for the Warriors, they have a couple of big names returning. Wade Egan, like we mentioned before, and Dylan Walker's back from a toe injury, and Mitch Barnett, first game since round 3. So that's great news for Mitch, who was at one stage being talked about as potentially having to retire because of that neck injury. So that moves Tom Ale and Dimitri Sifakula out of the 17. On the Dolphins side, they are resting Hammer and Tom Gilbert. They're not named at all. So, and I guess, you know, Adelaide to Auckland with just a 2-day turnaround, it totally makes sense, right? So otherwise, they're going with the same 1-17 who took down the Dragons last round. So that means Cody Nikorima gets another run at fullback. Anthony Milford gets the carve up again in the halves. You're laughing.
Yeah, I am. I'm surprised you haven't brought him in yet, to be honest.
I mean, if I didn't have Dill Vags and Cody Walker, I would have thought about it. But my halves are too stacked even for Anthony and Milford, right? So, yeah. And look, unfortunately for the big Val Meninga, sitting in the 17, impact player, you know, coming on the last 2 minutes of the game to, or 4 minutes, was it? 3 minutes?
Yeah, 4 minutes. Yeah, 1.3 PPM. So
something like that. Yeah. Yeah,
give the man some minutes and he'll carve it.
I mean, I think we knew he will eat whatever he gets. on the Warriors side, obviously, Chance, massive game. DWZ, if you took the punt, massive game. Montoya could have been massive if he didn't, you know, bomb half a dozen tries himself. And, you know, with the assistance of his teammates.
That was my punt. I did take Marcelo Montoya last week and he did let me down.
Look, that's, you know, it made a lot of sense, honestly. Looking between the two, I would have targeted that same, like, you know, the left winger against that Broncos right edge. I would have gone that way too, honestly. So, yeah, just about a bit of bad luck. He could have scored a hat-trick himself.
He looks good. He looks like a good footballer.
He's been so good for the Warriors all year. And, yeah, I've been very impressed. He's a little bit unreliable for Supercoach, though. That's the only thing, because he's got those highs and lows so far this year, if you look at his scores.
I think a couple of the lows, he got shifted into the centres there for a little bit, and that really hurt his Supercoach output. But, yeah, as you say, it is a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a fair shout there. And they do have Luke Metcalf at 5'8 now. Look, he was okay for Supercoach, you know, really involved. Lots of tackles and runs, but I'm not convinced NRL-wise. And to be fair, it's his first game in forever, so happy to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, I probably wouldn't look at him. There's still Tamari Martin, I think, who could be available next round onwards. And, yeah, a bit of uncertainty over that half spot there. So I'd skip that there. Now, Jackson Ford, who a lot of people held on the promise of obviously ongoing 80-minute games, didn't play 80 minutes last round. I don't know if that's just because of the HIA affected rotations, because he went off around the 60-minute mark because of Chance coming back from his HIA. He passed it and, you know, how they get that free interchange. So I think they brought Chance back on and they left one of the other back rowers on instead, and Ford came off. So not sure if that's that's the intention moving forward or whatever, but it's a little bit iffy, right? Because I'd be nervous if I had Ford.
Yeah, I still have him and I am nervous. Again, looking at the bench, I seem to focus on this quite a bit, but Josh Carr and Mitch Barnett and Bailey Sirenen all sitting there scares me. They've got to take minutes off someone, and Jackson Ford is likely the guy, because Fanua Blake and Tohu Harris are in blistering form at the moment. You try and get as big a minutes out of them as you can.
Yeah, I wonder if Niokore also would be the one to lose minutes as well. But you're right. It's, you can't take Fanua Blake off. I mean, his minutes have dropped already, but it doesn't seem to matter because he's just beasting it regardless. And Tohu Harris, I mean, you know, we talk about inspirational captains. There is no greater man than that guy for the Warriors. So, yeah, he needs to be out there as much as he can. And why wouldn't you when he's playing so well? So it's a tough one there for sure. I do think, you know, if you can hold him and not play Ford every week, like, I mean, this week's going to be tough because of all the teams on the bye, but they do have that round 19 coverage. And obviously that's going to be really handy just to hold them through that. But, yeah, that's probably just one thing to consider there for Warriors players there. Now, on the Dolphins side, so I brought in Jermaine Asako last round for the second time this season. You know, I got him when he was like under 400K, and then I thought he'd maxed out at 550K and I traded him out then, but here I am bringing him in for like 630K or 640K last round. So he genuinely looks like a season-long keeper, doesn't he?
Yeah, I could tell from that day we spent at Dolphin Stadium, Wilf, that you couldn't let Jermaine Asako go by. You couldn't pay me to bring him into my team, but no, he does look good. He's scoring tries. Well, he's a leading point scorer in the NRL by quite some margin.
He's, when he scores the tries, because he had a little bit of a dry spell there, but I think that's actually what convinced me to still pick him up, because even though he didn't score tries for about four rounds, he scored like 45 and then 360s. And there was like a couple of line breaks, but just heaps of goal kicks, and as well as hitting 50, you know, almost 40 in base attacks. So I just think it's such a great floor, and as we've seen from the Dolphins, they can score tries, and he's on the end of some of them. And he's in great form himself. Like, he's making catches and making plays that he hasn't had the confidence to do for a couple of years. So I think, yeah, definitely an option to bring him in if you still don't have him, but it's going to cost you a fair bit. We'll keep it moving. I think, most of the other Dolphins players are pretty talked out there. The next game is the second game on Saturday, the Titans and the Rabbitohs at Cbus Super Stadium. So big news, obviously, is Kieran Foran being out. Now, Fifita and Tino, they've both been named, and obviously pending how they pull up for after Origin will depend on whether they play. Now, Jaden Campbell moves from fullback to 5'8", and then Keno Keeney is the new fullback. So we saw him in the preseason, and he's had a bit of a stint off the bench since then. He just looks like a real live wire, just so much energy. So I'll be keen to see how he goes for the full 80 minutes. And obviously, really tough game against the Rabbitohs here. Sneaky inclusion for the Titans in Sam Verrill's returning. He's obviously, meant to be their main guy. But obviously, he hasn't been cited since round two due to injury. And yeah, so much for Holbrook dropping Khan Pereira for a while, right? He's lasted all of one game out, and then he's back in there. So it's just so hard to trust these guys, right? Justin Holbrook loves to blame a winger or an outside back for a loss and just drops him. So I guess it's his turn to come back into the team.
Yeah, we got that with Marju last year, right? He seemed to get the axe more than he probably deserved, and he's showing just what he can do this year with some constant game time. Although Campiera, look, I sold him a few weeks ago now and ruined the day I did because he seemed to make cash since then, but with with Kieran Foran on the sideline for an extended period, is it time to cut ties with AKP if you haven't already?
I mean, I think if you have any doubts about his ability to score any tries, that probably will say whether you should trade him out, because if he's not scoring tries, he's going to tank pretty soon of his value because his base is pretty non-existent. So, yeah, I think I don't think he's a bad sell. Obviously, the Titans do cover round 19 only, so they don't help with round 16 either, which is pretty rough for as far as buy scheduling goes. So, you know, once it hits round 17, they have a clear run to the end of the season. But yeah, just round 5, 13 and 16 is a pretty rough buy schedule for the Titans. So yeah, there's no real reason to hold him unless you think he's going to keep scoring at the rate that he's scoring already. So I'm very comfortable moving him on, especially if he could be easily blamed for the next loss that they cop, which I think they will probably still cop this round against the Rabbitohs. So, look, assuming, let's say, after Queensland beat the Blues tomorrow, right, and Fifita has played the full 80 minutes, how many minutes do you think he's going to play for, you know, just 3 days later against the Rabbitohs? Do you see him coming out and starting? Do you see him maybe even coming off the bench and playing 50 minutes or something like that, or...?
It's hard because they don't have a lot of depth in their edge back row. So if Dave feels all right, I think they've almost got to run him out. But yeah, look, I'd say he plays, just not 80. I'd say he will be there.
So if he doesn't play 80 and if he's got Kieran Foran next to him anymore to feed him and give him all the good quality ball he's been getting to get all those attacking opportunities, whether it's scoring himself or whether it's to set up AKP or whatever, does that make him at 942,000 a trade out?
He's got a break even of 70, so not unattainable in a lower minute game. Like if his break even was up to near the 100, I think it would be cool. I'd definitely float the idea more. They've got the Tigers next week. Oh, geez, you'd hate to not own Dave Fifita against the Tigers, wouldn't you?
Yep. Well, look, I as someone who hasn't had Dave Fifita in his team since round 5, it's scary, I have to say. But look, when you say, you know, he's not playing 80 minutes, like the only game he's played 60 minutes or less this year, he scored 49. That was against the Storm, though, so no attacking stats in there. But it's, I think it just caps his upside, doesn't it? Like he just, I mean, Dave Fifita only needs 50 minutes and he could still score 2 tries in that time. It's just if the Titans aren't, you know, in good territory to give him good ball to score those tries because there's no foreign, like I just think there's a definite cap there. And I don't know. Like, I look at it and I think, is there a reason that he, you know, maintains the price tag, or he needs the bulk attacking stats, right, to be able to keep it up plus 80 minutes? So every chance he drops. So if he drops to 850K, he's probably still, you know, scoring 70s and 80s. If he's not hitting 70, right, then he could be like 700K by the end of round 20 or something like that. So that's my hesitation. So, look, I definitely think it. If you've held some of the other Origin guys like Nico, Cleary, Grant, or whoever, if you've got some of those guys still in your team, I think maybe you could look at moving Fifita on at max price and bringing him back later. But I do think if you've sold a lot of those other guys, then you've got to hang on to some of them, right? You can't bring all these guys back in round 20, even with a boost.
Yeah, no, you just run out of trades.
It's not even that. Like, how do you bring in, you know, three guys who are worth 800K, 900K in one hit? Like, I think that's the issue, right? Even if you have a boost, like, unless you've got a cheeky 1.5 mil sitting there and, you know, three 600K guys, like, you're not bringing in all that money in one hit. So I think that's the issue that people are ignoring when they're trying to bring in, you know, all the post-origin guns back. Like, it's going to take a couple of rounds, basically, if you're not holding them. All right, we'll keep it moving there. On the Rabbitohs, obviously no Latrell Mitchell. And otherwise, I think it's a pretty set team. They have named Cam Murray and Jai Arrey to back up, but obviously, you know, pending what's happening there. Campbell Graham is back now from his sternum injury. And other changes, Richie Kenner playing his first game of the season. Tane Milne moved to 18th man, so obviously that means he's dropped. There is some chat that Isaac Thompson suffered another injury in reserve grade and it could be out long term. So that's worth noting there for those still holding on with the hope that he might be back. I think it's time to move on, basically, from the sounds of it. So, yeah. Any interest in the Rabbitohs players, or should you have gotten on already, basically?
I think you should have gotten on already. AJ definitely strikes some interest. Gold Coast are the greatest defence. And Cody Walker, I'll throw this out, question without notice. I know you own Cody already. I'm thinking I want to bolster my 5'8". Is Cody a season-long keeper at 5'8 with Dylan Brown?
So I know you're playing head-to-head, right? So I will say he's not a season-long keeper because he doesn't play around 26. You can't have a guy not playing head-to-head grand finals week, assuming that it's your finals week and most leagues will be set up that way. Yeah, you just can't do it. So I kind of think he's still an option because I think he's going to keep, like, he's just touching the ball so much, right? And he's in good enough form himself that he's creating opportunity, sometimes not being taken. So he's playing so well, and it could be better if his teammates aren't letting him down, or if, you know, sometimes the stats guys are favoring Isaiah Tass a little bit more than they should. I don't know. Speaking as a, you know, someone who expected a few more points for Cody last round.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you have a vested interest or anything.
No, not at all. But yeah, look, I think he's just, yeah, he's just doing some really good stuff. It's a terrifying watch because he's got such a low base comparatively, but he's in supremely good form. And as long as he keeps touching the ball, I think he's going to keep going the way he is. But having said that, like I said, for me, you know, I'm going to have to hold him till he covers round 19, obviously, for the bye. But I'm really tempted to maybe trade him out afterwards because round 20, Bunnies have a bye. Then it's the Broncos, Tigers, Sharks, Dragons, Knights. And then round 26 bye as well. So there are a couple of juicy matchups in there. But just the fact that in, you know, a 7-week period, he's going to miss two games and then still have tougher games against the Broncos and the Sharks in there, I'm a little bit worried that, yeah, he just won't really give up enough, deliver enough points, I suppose. But at the same time, you know, if I've got the ability to cover him, I might do that as well. Because I'm going to have to trade out Dylan Brown or Cody. One of them has to go for Munster. I'm very committed to finishing the season with Munster because I just think Munster is the best 5'8 in the game and best Supercoach 5'8 as well. So,
yeah. On that notion, Cody's got to go. You got to keep Dillbags. Cody's got to go.
Yeah, the annoying thing is Dillbags still misses round 27 himself. And his run is like, so yeah. So he covers round 19, which is great. And then Titans, Cowboys, Storm, Dragons, Broncos, Roosters, Panthers. So a bit mixed. There's a couple of good juicy matchups in there, but then, yeah, kind of like those last three games and then the final round bye. It could be tough. Like maybe it's Cody to Munster and then
Dilbeck back to Cody
in round 24. Oh, I don't know. Too much mucking around here. That's a long time. It's a long way away.
Yeah. Joe would be upset with us. Joe would be very upset with us.
Oh, absolutely. And now Kian Kolomatangi, let's talk about him. He came in as a late-in and played big minutes straight away, basically, and looked pretty good, honestly. It didn't look like he was injured or coming back from injury, so he's still got a high break-even, but I can see a lot of people looking at bringing him in. Is he on your radar? Or
He's on my radar. He's a good own. I owned him quite a lot for last year, and he's got a decent attacking upside for an edge back rower, and he gets through a lot of work. I think he probably, if the Blues struggle in game one or game two and there's some injuries, I don't think he's out of the origin scene either. So he's probably got that in the back of his mind. I don't hate that shout.
Yep. I don't think I'd jump on this round anyway. And, he's like 112 break even. So happy to give him a little bit more time, and then I guess you can, if there's an injury that arises, for example, in Origin, and, he suddenly might find himself moving up the pecking order for Origin selection for game two. So that's probably the one thing I'd say there. All right, we better keep it moving or we will get in trouble with Joe. So third game on Saturday is the Sharks and the Broncos. This is at PointsBet, so the Sharks' home ground. So Nico is obviously named and to back up, and I guess given he's most likely playing off the bench, most of us expecting him to back up. So also Sifa Talakai, who was missing for a couple of weeks for a neck injury, he's back in the centres. So Connor Tracy drops out and, he's still rumoured to apparently join the Eels. But who knows if the Sharks would bother letting him go since he's such a good depth piece. And otherwise, the bench is still the same. Cam McKinnon is still a little bit out. Although apparently Toby Rudolph could be only a couple of weeks away. So that's probably good news for them. On the Broncos side, they have named all of their Origin guys to back up. So that includes, obviously, Payne Haas, Patrick Carrigan, Reece Walsh, Tom Flegler, and Selwyn Cobber. So that's five guys to play. So that moves Jensen and Hetherington to the bench. And obviously, Saylor, Palacia, Mariner, all amongst the reserves. Now, interestingly enough, Corey Oates is on the extended bench, also named in reserve grade. So he might be closing in on a return. And yeah, look, I think it's just going to be really tough, right? We just have to see how the Broncos players, the Broncos contingent pulls up from Origin, because there's just so many of them that I don't think it's going to be easy to get a read on the squad here. Look, obviously the Sharks are quite interesting. Lots of people keen on them because they cover round 16 and 19. Moving forward, only one bye round left, and that's in round 17. So that's a little bit, it's like round 14 this round, right? The Sharks are one of the three teams on the bye in round 17, so that could get a little bit dicey. But who are you targeting, right? The Sharks have such a good run for the rest of the year.
Yes, Sifa Talakai. I know that in terms of centre wings, he's got a nice low break even. I think we were talking off air. Well, who do I think I am? Some radio host. Before we started, we're talking Britton Nicara. He's been playing really well.
Yep. So, he's definitely on my radar. He's 709,300 with a break even of 79, but that 79 is very achievable for him since he's averaging 73.7 for the season. Definitely he's pretty much priced at his price tag. And if you look at his last score, 61, 84, 66, 58, 87, just super consistent. Great work rate and obviously a great attacking upside. I'm tempted to bring him in straight away just because I need to bolster my second row a little bit. When you don't have Dave Fifita there holding it down, it does look a little bit empty. But I think he's going to be – I feel like he could be a top five second rower, if not higher. So someone like that covering rounds 16 and 19, it just seems like a must consider at least, if not must have, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and the Sharks' draw isn't horrible for the rest of the season out. Regardless of buys, like their actual matchups, they've got some juicy matchups, especially towards the back end.
Oh, the final four rounds, Titans, Cowboys, Knights, Raiders, that's gold. And then, even the couple of rounds in the middle there, Dragons, Tigers, Warriors, Seagulls. There's a tough little stretch of Panthers and Bunnies, but yeah, it's basically Broncos Storm rounds 14, 15, then Bulldogs in round 16. The Bulldogs are somehow more origin affected than the Sharks are. Then there's a bye, and then it's those four nice games there. Although Warriors again, you know, they played out a 32-30 loss last time around, so it could be high scoring. And then Panthers, Bunnies, and then four easy games to finish. So to be honest, like, the Sharks could not get much better of a draw coming the rest of the season and covering two big bye rounds. Like, I mean, I've already got Mulatalo, so I'm loving that. And bringing in Nikora, like, these guys are all 700K and for good reasons. So I think it'll be tough for a lot of people to bring all of them in. And yeah, I definitely think that could be a point of difference to have, you know, multiple Sharks guys in your team. You know, spread them out though. You can't have too many of them. Like, as we've seen, like, you can't have multiple, like, three Sharks outside backs will leave you struggling in round 17, for example. So just got to be mindful of that. And for the Broncos, obviously, they are, you know, their bye coverage is done. I think they're going to be tough to look at because soon enough they're going to, you know, they haven't had a bye yet. Their first one will be in round 16, then 19 and round 25. So missing plenty of games. And then they don't get to play at Suncorp for most of the season except the final round in round 27 against the Storm because they'll be playing at the Gabba instead due to the Women's World Cup taking all the games at Suncorp Stadium. So again, you know, for those who aren't aware, that's why they shove so many Suncorp games at the start of a year for the Broncos. So something about contractual, you know, requirements to play a certain number of Broncos games at the stadium each year or something like that. You know, it's just legal rubbish, right?
Yeah, PBL, he's on top of that.
No, it's clearly just the Broncos rigging the draw. So, you know, or they needed to hook up that sweet run for themselves early on. Yeah, look, so that means I definitely don't really see many of the Broncos being a viable option moving forward, except for, you know, your big guns like your Payne Haas, Patrick Carrigan. Even Reece Walsh is going to be tough because, again, he doesn't help you too many of those rounds. But he's obviously, you know, at the right price tag, definitely worth considering there. All right, we'll keep it moving. Next game is on the Sunday, 2 p.m., Roosters and Bulldogs. This is in Gosford, so taking that regional. The Roosters have named Teddy and Lindsay Collins to back up. Obviously, playing on the Sunday means they have the longest possible turnaround time. So I think there's a good chance, especially with the Roosters not traveling very well, I think both these guys should probably back up, barring injuries. They've also named JWH and Joey Manu to return from injuries. Tupou's named 18th man and a good chance of coming in. So Manu's still at 5'8", and that does push Hutchinson back to the bench. And then Lodge also goes back to the bench too. Radley's out suspended still, so Nat Butcher's starting again. As we mentioned last round, Cheese is out for a fair while with a fractured thumb. So Jake Turpin will be the starting hooker, and presumably he will be sharing minutes a hooker with Drew Hutchison. So, look, let's get the gross part of this conversation out of the way. Jake Turpin, he's 232,600 and has a break even of 16.
You can make some cash. Sonny Luke down to Jake Turpin. That's
You're going to pay almost $4,000 to make that trade.
Right. It's worth it, though.
I can't do it.
What's that, Turpin? How long's Cheese out for? Is it 4 weeks?
He's apparently, like, I think round 19, possibly.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, he'll help with round 16 coverage, you assume. But look, you look at Turpin, right? So he's already played 53 minutes in round 2, scored 25. He played 63 minutes in round 1, scored 43. He played 51 minutes in round 12, scored 25. So it's not great. There is every chance that he could get, you know, the lion's share of 50, 60 minutes and still give you a 25 average. So that is within the range of outcomes. I don't think it, like, we've seen Turpin play for the Broncos and he'd still score 40s, basically, you know, playing 50 minutes. So I tend to think he can make the money, but I just don't think I can bring him in.
there's got to be better trades there. If Jake Turpin's your trade in midway through the season, you need to, X that one, start another one.
Well, Well, I just kind of think, like, does Sonny Luke score the same as him, basically? Possibly. I mean, there's all this chat, right? This is the time where, you know, because the Origin guy's going to play less minutes, like, you know, Mitch Kenny will get more minutes in the middle instead of Isaiah Yeo. So Sonny Luke's got to step up at hooker, right?
I've stopped buying the Sonny Luke narratives. The preseason killed me. I can't do anymore.
Yeah, that's very fair. And I mean, yeah, well, let's just move on from Sonny Luke chat. It's making me depressed. One thing to note, Junior Pauga is named on what we presume to be the right wing for the Roosters. So Jackson Paulo dropped. He's named in the number 20. Just for reference, I mean, the Pauga, I think I'm pronouncing that right, but if not, I'm sorry. But he is absolutely blitzing New South Wales Cup. He's scoring tries for fun. I think he's, just like 64 tackle bus or something like that on the season, which is just wild, right? Like, that number doesn't seem right.
Yeah, we're only into round 13. I think the New South Wales Cup's played less than that. I think they might have started a little bit later. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, 11 games, 14 tries, 64 tackle bus. And his last start, 4 tries. So I think he's, earned the spot on form. And, yeah, look, we don't want to jump the gun. So I think people are learning that lesson, right? You know, Tafare, Finai, who else? Dunster. Yeah, just don't do it if you don't have to. But massive watch there, obviously. You know, anyone who's it's like 250K, I think, roughly. Anyone down that price tag and can help you for... Sorry, 265, sorry. Anyone down that price tag and can help you for buy round is always a good option when you're trying to free up cash, basically, to purchase all these other, you know, 700K guys. So massive watch on Junior Pauga there for sure. On the Bulldogs side, I mean, they haven't named... So this is the Bulldogs are one of the teams that aren't naming their Origin guys. They're putting them in the extended squad. And if they can... back up, which I think they will again, barring injuries, they'll be able to come straight in. So right now they've named Blake Wilson and Ryan Sutton to start there, but I suspect they'll they'll probably make way for Pengai and Addo Carr. Now the Bulldogs do cover around 16 and 19 as well. They are part of the 3-game combo, like the Sharks, who have the round 17 bye, but otherwise have that nice little run towards the end of the year. On top of that, the Bulldogs do have around 23 bye, so still part of the head-to-head finals, so it's something to keep in mind. But, I mean, it's not the best run. Roosters, Eels, Sharks. Sharks in round 16, and then round 17 bye, and then Knights, Bunnies, Broncos, Panthers. So I'd try to avoid the attacking stat-dependent guys, and for me that rules out Reid Marnie because I think he's attacking stat-dependent. Because, yeah, we dove into the numbers. He's like a 45 average without attacking stats, basically. So, yeah, any interest in these Bulldogs players?
I think you're right about the run. I toyed with Matt Burton being a 5'8 I could bring in, and I just can't pay 650 for someone with a run like that. I've still got Hayes Perham. He's done me well, but I think I've got to cut ties with him, if not this week, very shortly. Similar with Alamotti. I think that, as you say, attacking stats are going to dry up for the Bulldogs. So, yeah, go somewhere else.
The other name that's interesting is obviously Harrison Edwards, who was a late inclusion to start in round 11, scored 94 with the attacking stat in there, playing 68 minutes. And then round 12, he was named to start at lock and then he got benched, but still came on and played 63 minutes off the bench, scored 56 in base and base attacks. So, pretty happy with that. Now, he's obviously jumped up now. He is 385,200. Still got a negative 28 break even, but that 94 score does drop out next week. So you'll need him to play decent minutes again. I tend to think that might be, you know, the role he's going to be given. Like, he's going to get 50, 60 minutes off the bench and just, you know, come on as one of the first interchanges and stay on for the rest of the game. But we just don't know, right? You're taking a gamble. I kind of think he might be, like, he's still viable this week if you really need to downgrade and hopefully get a guy you can play. But I think there's some definite risks there. I wouldn't be surprised if Serrato changes his mind at some point and decides maybe, you know, if Sutton has a decent game or whatever, like, Max King's minutes will have to rise sooner rather than later. So I think, 385, a little bit steep to take that risk from my perspective. So yeah. I'd probably give him a miss.
Agree. And Luke Thompson can't be a world away. I believe he was supposed to be getting close soon, but obviously he's not there yet.
Yeah, I think there's some chat in like the last 1 or 2 weeks that he's had a setback. So he is being pushed further back now. Who knows? It's very vague. We just don't know for sure. And then lastly, look, it's gross, but Jed Nockenbaugh, named to start on the bench.
he's going to be Jake Granville shortly. He's going to have 17 dual positions.
357, 500. Well, back row is one of his actual current positions, like that and center wing. He's got a negative 21 break even, and that's thanks to his last starts of 71 and 63. But, you know, that wasn't playing on the edge, basically. So I don't know. It's hard to trust. And again, you know, he's going to need some attacking stats to be able to, you know, basically be useful. So I tend to think, yeah, give him the miss, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
Then the second last game for the round is the Cowboys and the Storm. This one is back in Townsville. So Lolo spends another game listed and on the extended bench. Nanai is finally available for selection and he's on the bench. They've not named any of their origin guys. So Val Holmes, Talangi and Cotter, all amongst the extended bench. So I tend to think they probably could back up, but again, we just don't know. Depends on how they go. Tom Dearden, you know, he's 18th man, so he's named to start at 5'8". And Robert Darby, who I thought he had a pretty good game last round, honestly, in his debut, but they're bringing in Semi Valame. I don't get it, but Todd Payton, hey?
Yeah. Zach Labor was good. He looked good in the sense.
Yes, yeah, well, that's what I thought. I thought Labor and Darby, they both look good. But, you know, here we are. Semi Valame somehow gets in ahead. Look, I think on the Storm side of things, they've named, you know, they're 1-17. Katoa's been named despite his shoulder injury. I think we're still waiting to see if there's any other additional news, but I'm really keen to bring him in. Obviously, he's got like a break even of 3 and it's very affordable compared to where he peaked earlier. I think did he hit 700K? I think he did at one stage, didn't he?
He was definitely up there, definitely high 600s at least, and looked like he was going to be a season long keeper there at the start.
Yeah, no, not quite 700K, 620, so still pretty good. And then, yeah, obviously 523 now, and with the break even of 3, just obviously the shoulder injury is the biggest concern. Yeah, so look, against the Cowboys, I think it's worth taking the risk, right? It could be attacking stats on offer, and, you know, the Storm do cover round 16, but not round 19. But aside from that, like, they play every game round 19 for the rest of the season, so he could be a season, you know, rest of season option there for sure.
Right, especially with Jerome Hughes there, looking like he's coming into form on that right edge. He's definitely, it was a slow start to the season, but looking better as the weeks go on. And I think the Storm are really going to start to make a push for this end of season. It's just got that feel about it. Pappenhausen is not near, I don't think. So there will be some stability there, and yeah, we'll make a run.
Yeah, it's looking like he, you know, if he makes it back this year, it won't be during Supercoach relevant scoring. So I think that really bumps up Nick Meaney as an option as well. Like, he's someone I've really closely looked at as well. You know, if I didn't want to go with the Sharks player or whatever, then Nick Meaney, you know, great buy schedule, just doesn't come in the round 19 option as well. So yeah, I think a lot of people are keen on Storm players, except did you know Xavier Coates is like 300K?
300? Wow, he could score 5 tries against Kyle Felt this week.
He could also score 5 points.
That is in the possible outcome.
Yeah, it's like what was last three scores, 14, 17 and 11, all 80-minute games.
Sorry, Xavier, that's why you didn't get a jersey on Wednesday.
Amongst other reasons, but yeah, like, you go back, he scored 47 against the Warriors, but then his other four of his last 5 scores are sub 20, between 11 to 19. It's just gross. Like, I get it. I have no doubt some people will take the risk, but break even of 67, he'll need a, you know, hat trick just to break that. So yeah. 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 No fun. Any other names you want to talk about here, or we'll keep moving?
Nah, man. I think, as you say, it's everyone we've already spoke about. Harry, if you've kept him, he probably will back up, not going to play huge minutes in Origin. I'd like him against the Cows, but they're known commodities. There's no one there that although the only sort of unknown commodity is maybe Luch, but I don't think I'd be buying him just yet.
No. And Lukey, it's, he had a good bounce back after like a big week and then, a dud score and then solid bounce back in an important buy round. But I think he's going to be continuing to be attacking stat dependent as he continues to build that match fitness to get that work rate up. So, yeah, I think it's probably a little bit too late now because he'll be pretty expensive. Final game, Panthers and Dragons. This one is at Bluebet Stadium. So the Panthers have named the same 17 that beat the Broncos in round 12. That includes all the Origin players, Cleary, Luai, Liam Martin, Critter, Isaiah Yeo and Brian To'o. And obviously, again, just pending how they pull up from the game. I think from memory last year, they all backed up every game they could, except after game 3. So I expect these guys to play. You know, whether win or lose, I think these guys just want to play. They like playing footy. And I think it's clear when they play footy, they enjoy it. So I just think they're going to get themselves out for every game they possibly can. Worth noting, Isaac Tonga is listed on the extended bench. So a bit of a nervous one for anyone with Tyrone Peachy, who, he might still have a decent role if these guys don't back up or whatever. But, yeah, just something to be mindful of. If you're planning to rely on Peachy as one of your 17 this week, you might not be, might be off your bench or something like that. So it could be a pretty tough scoring there. For the Dragons, they do have Ben Hunt obviously backing up. I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll back up. Jaden Sewell also returns with a knee injury, and Billy Burns coming in to start with my boy Ben Murdoch-Masilla going back to the bench. So as we mentioned, Jack Bird is going to miss a couple of games, and then Toby Catchman back to the reserves and Moses Mbai back to 18th man. Yeah, look, I think the only question I'd ask here is if Cleary backs up, is he a captaincy option?
It's tough to save your captaincy to the last game and then have to put it on Terrell Sloan if Cleary doesn't play because he's your only player remaining.
Or you just need to absolutely nail your vice-captain and then Cleary becomes a vice-captaincy option because if he doesn't play, he's your loop, or if he does play, he's your captain, right?
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, now you're vice-captain and that opens a world of possibilities.
Yep.
After Cleary, the other guy I'd like to just get your thoughts on here, and I know there'll be some people still talking about him, Jack DeBellin. That team list with no Jack Bird for the next 2 weeks, he'd been playing big minutes, and DeBellin looks good. Is he an option?
Yeah, look, I definitely think he is. You know, even though he got sin bin last round, he still scored pretty well, and that's inclusive of obviously the neg 10 that he gets for the sin bin and penalty and then the 10 minutes off the field. I do think, though, I don't think he can maintain those massive minutes playing that much in the middle because, I mean, you can tell on the field he does get really tired when he makes that many tackles, right? So it contributes to him missing. I mean, he was one of the two guys that let in Mark Nichols. Just strolls past him. And I dare say that was partially due to the amount of work he'd been doing. So I don't know how long they're going to keep running him out like that. I don't think it's sustainable. I think sooner rather than later, his minutes will drop. He's not breaking the bank, but I'm definitely getting Tarpane, Tohu Harris, those guys ahead of him. And they're not that much more than him. So for me, that's kind of where I'd look. If you're still looking for a front row forward, then he doesn't help around 16. He does cover around 19, though, obviously. So, yeah, just something to keep in mind. Obviously, I just think he's not the standout, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's better options, and you're not getting at a discounted price, right? If he was 100K or 150K cheaper, then we can entertain the idea, but he's not. So.
Yeah, definitely not. And just a couple of other names here, I guess. I've held Jack Hosking on the promise that he's going to play 80 minutes over this period. So I think this will be the first test to see if that happens. I mean, if he doesn't play 80 minutes, with so many of the guys backing up after our Origin, I dare say we might not get 80 minutes in too many of these games moving forward. So.
Well, remember, Sonny Luke's going to play more minutes this week, so he might take some off Zach.
Oh, dear. I can't wait to trade Sonny Luke out of my team. final shout actually is for Dylan Edwards. I think he's a genuine option this year. the role in this team with no Appy there, he's just stepped up. Like, I think there's a genuine like game planning around getting him involved in the attack. And, you know, the uptick in attacking stats, he's lifted himself in the same tier as those other fullbacks, partially because those other fullbacks have dropped themselves. But I think he needs to be in the conversation, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He definitely does. He goes about it in a different way than they do. He definitely goes about it in his own way, but it's good to watch, and it's definitely super coach relevant.
I mean, he's averaging 0.1 less than Tommy Turbo, which that sounds wild, right?
And he's reliable, right? He's not, well, touch wood, the poor guy's been injury free for quite some time now. So 0.1 less points at a lot less stress.
One thing I do struggle with though, if I trade Latrell to him, I only get $8,000 change. That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got that big, was it like a
122 three weeks ago. So that does mean he's got 112 break even. So he's not going to be super cheap anytime soon though, because I mean, is he not going to hit 112 against the Dragons this week?
Possibly. You wouldn't bet against it.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, like season low of 42. That's his in base, like 42, 49. Everything else is 50 and above. He's got 163 against the Seagulls, 122 against the Warriors. So that ceiling is now there, the one that never was there in the past. So Latrell, 79.5. Tommy Turbo, 77.2. Dylan Edwards, 77.1. Top three averaging fullbacks this season. It's wild. And believe it or not, Will Kennedy is in fifth, after Reese Walsh. 75.7 and 74.5.
My man, Will Kennedy.
it's an interesting season for sure. When, you know, Gutho 69.1, and you got Teddy 57 is his average so far. Wow, what a year.
He's got to put 10 points on that before the end of the year, surely.
I mean, if he doesn't bump that up to a 67, well, that's very doable, right? He only has to average 77 to manage that, I reckon. So, yeah, definitely could do it. All right, I'm just going to finish off with a quick update on our group competition now. We've got a new leader. It's Ryan, a coach of Financial Panther, sitting in 30th overall. So surprising, like the lead just keeps changing in our group comp. It seems to be a new person every week. So I think it speaks to how close it is, honestly. So, yeah, thanks to Tyler Mann, our good friends there, who stand for excellence in wall and floor tiles. They've put up $500 cash for our overall prize. So if you are leading the group comp come end of season, you'll get that. Second or fourth, you'll get a platinum subscription to Rugby League Fantasy Pro, their app. They are, you know, offering platinum subscriptions for second to fourth place, and that will include access to all four of their fantasy apps, including Supercoach Pro, Fantasy Pro, DraftStars Pro, and Punter Pro. That's valued at $90. Fifth and tenth place in the group competition will also get a $30 voucher to use in 2024. Which covers the cost of Supercoach Pro, or they you can apply that to any of the other subscription packages on offer. So jump over to rugbyleaguefantasypro.com for more info about what's offered. And thanks again to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity and testament to how useful the app can be. Adrian, who I know a lot of his trading and a lot of his stuff, all of his research and stuff is done through the app. He's coming like top 100, something like that. So absolutely flying. I think it's only his second year of Supercoach as well. So, yeah, well done, Adrian. Keep it up. And obviously, yeah, check out rugbyleaguefantasypro.com for more info there. All right, mate, thanks for jumping on. Any final words you want to offer for the Champs listeners this week?
Mate, nothing groundbreaking, and I'm sure the Champs listeners are already on top of this. And it's important every round, but I think it's more important in rounds like this is to get your starting 13 and your reserves the right way around. Don't let someone, if you know who your 17 are going to be, don't let someone play on your bench before one of your starters, if that makes sense.
Yep, unless you're captaining them or something like that.
Yes.
Yep. So I think the prime example might be you don't want to put Cam Munster as your starting 5-8, because if he's a late withdrawal, then you're stuck. So make sure he's one of your reserves. So if he's out, then at least you can take the reserve off him and chuck it on, I guess, hopefully.
Exactly.
You've got a Cowboy or a Storm player or a Panther, or maybe you're putting it on Ben Murdoch, Masilla.
Sonny Luke.
Sonny Luke. I mean, that'll be your AE anyway, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, look, that's always a good reminder. I find myself every now and then, I know this, right? And I still make that mistake. So definitely is useful to be reminded of that as always. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back. So we won't record tomorrow because obviously we'll be busy watching Origin. But we will be back on Thursday. So we're going to jump on and record, obviously, the post-Origin chat and, you know, deal with the fallout of yet another, famous Queensland Maroons underdog win against all odds, would you say?
Yeah, backs against the wall type situation.
Let's go up the Maroons.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate. We'll catch you again soon.
Thanks, mate.